Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, all together, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai. Gauranitai, Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Nila Madhav Radha, Nila Madhav Radhe.
Hare Krishna. Congratulations for completing your first 64-ounce day accompanied by Monam. This evening session will be dedicated to the question, how can we increase our attachment to Krishna? If we can increase our attachment to Krishna, then the chanting of His holy name will be much easier. I must give a little word to my note takers. This session is not for taking notes. It is for relishing and just hearing the pastimes. If you wish to take notes later, there are recordings for you, which you can order and get for free. But this is something different. You will see, it's not a formal lecture. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "The more we study the pastimes of the Lord, the more we become attached to Him. This very attachment to Krishna makes one eligible to be transferred to His abode, Goloka Vrindavan." My dear devotees, when we hear about Krishna, it is such a strong experience that immediately love enters into our heart. Let us hear what happened to the people of Vrindavan when they saw Krishna, so that by hearing about those who see Krishna, some of their experience enters our heart. When the people in Vrindavan saw Krishna, they made a great noise. Whenever Krishna would appear somewhere, they quickly rushed towards Him. When they saw Him, they developed slack limbs, quivered in their bodies, and it was difficult for them to speak to Krishna because they wept in love. The Brijbasis could never be completely satisfied when they saw Krishna. They would curse the blinking of their eyes and said, "Oh, Brahma is a very inexpert creature. Why hasn't he created eyes the same way the eyes are made of Lord Indra, Lord Indra's body? We want to," and they were envious of the fishes because the fish have eyes without eyelids and they don't constantly blink away. Krishna's friends, when they saw Krishna, would have eyes which quickly filled up with tears on seeing Him. And their bodies began to quiver, just like the body quivers of someone who has danced for a long, long time. When they embraced, when Krishna's friends embraced Krishna, waves of joy could be seen on their body. Such joy they felt that they could not identify themselves before the Lord. They couldn't say, "I'm Sridham or Sudham or I'm this." They just were speechless. The cows and other animals of Vrindavan were also excited when Krishna arrived. The trees, when they saw Krishna, developed blossoms which would open quickly and then fall to the ground as a loving offering to Gopal. The earth, when it was excited by the soft touch of Krishna's lotus feet, began to immediately sprout lotus flowers which came in His footprints. My dear devotees, if birds would hear Krishna's flute, they would stand still in the air. They couldn't proceed. Just like the waves of the Yamuna became immobile and the water not froze, it became hard in ecstasy. So that when Krishna wanted to cross the Yamuna, he would simply play on his flute and the waves would stop and he would walk over the waves. Yes. However, my dear devotees, and this is very important for you to note, whenever the devotees of Vrindavan, either cowherd friends, servants, animals, trees, saw how Mother Yashoda reacted towards Krishna, how much love came forward from Mother Yashoda, whose breasts became covered with perspiration and milk. Whenever they saw that, they would simply melt away. My dear devotees, we hear from Shastra that it is sometimes more valuable to see the devotees who see Krishna, to observe the reactions in the devotees who observe Krishna, than to directly see Krishna. And I believe all of you have made this experience when you have watched how some devotees take darshan of the deities. You have maybe watched how they pray intently, how they pay their obeisances and take a long time to come out of their obeisances and stand again. Maybe you have seen how some devotees have a stealthy tear which they wipe away shyly. And as you see, the devotees seeing Krishna, your ability to have darshan of Krishna increases. Because, my dear devotees, it's not through eyes that you see Krishna. It is only through love that you can see Krishna. So when the devotees of Vrindavan, highly exalted devotees, oh, so high, so tall was their bhakti as the mountain Himalaya, saw Mother Yashoda looking down the path on which her Gopal would enter the village of Vrindavan. When they just saw Mother Yashoda's eyes, when they heard Mother Yashoda's command to the gopis to get the bathing water ready for Krishna, when they heard how Mother Yashoda sent gopis up the watchtower to look in the direction from where Krishna and his cows would come, the devotees simply melted away. That was more for them than seeing Krishna directly, because they now imbibed the love of Yashoda, and then the Krishna experience is very good. My dear devotees, we don't want to see Krishna. We don't want Krishna. We want bhakti. Because only through bhakti can we see Krishna and obtain Krishna. So this is important for us because we will now enter the arena in Mathura, take our seat there and join the devotees in Mathura who are all excited. There were rumors in Mathura about Krishna. Some devotees had heard about Krishna, and the whole town was talking about him. Because, you must know, Krishna was invited to Mathura by King Kamsa for a wrestling match in an arena which was particularly constructed for this purpose. There were thousands of wrestlers there, and the best wrestlers would be combined by the order of Kamsa, who would say, you fight with him, you fight with him. And then they would display their wrestling skills. I have been in Vrindavan, and once there was a big commotion when I was driving from Gokula to Raval, and I asked the Daivaji, what is the commotion? And he said, Ranga, Ranga, wrestling. So I asked that the taxi stop because I wanted to also see the wrestling match and, if need be, also wrestle a little bit. So I got out of the taxi and I joined the spectators, and there were two heavyweight bridge bosses. They were challenging each other by making sounds under the arm. They were restless, you know. They would show their muscles, and then they would get at each other and joyfully wrestle, while the rest of the spectators, thousands, it was village entertainment, were around and shouted, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe. such a wrestling context is competition. It is something which you should not be worried about. It is tradition. It is all right. But this wrestling match was not all right, because Kamsa had planned to pair Krishna with his most mighty wrestler, Chanura, and Balaram with his second powerful wrestler, Mushtika. And in the night before the wrestling match, Kamsa had called Chanura and Mushtika and a few others and instructed them, when you wrestle with these two boys of Vasudev, don't wrestle with fair means. Just hit them at the soft spot where you can effectively kill them. This was against all the rules. But the people of Mathura didn't know that. They thought, well, there's a wrestling match, like always there were so many wrestling matches, and there will be also Krishna, and he will wrestle with his cowherd boyfriends. So they were in good spirits. But the day before the wrestling match, something unusual had happened. Krishna had entered the sacrificial temple of the bow. This bow was a gift of Lord Shiva to Kamsa, his great devotee. Lord Shiva has said, as long as the bow is intact, you will live. But when the bow is broken by someone, you will die. So Kamsa had arranged an army of brahmanas, you could say, to worship the bow, do puja to his bow, just like he wanted to protect his life. There was an army constantly guarding the bow. So Krishna had come the day before the wrestling match into the encampment, or the place where the bow was, under a big like temple like structure with open sides. And then Krishna had asked, is this the bow of Lord Shiva which protects the life of our king? People had said, yes, that's the bow. Krishna had walked, beautifully as he is, to the bow. Then he looked around to the guards and said, I don't think it's very heavy. This bow was so heavy, my dear devotees. It weighted 350 times 1,000 kg. I don't know how heavy this is. Very heavy. Krishna said, this is not very, very, very heavy. And he had climbed over the fence. When he was on the fence, the guard said, stop, stop, come back. Krishna had smiled at them. Like a little child, he went down on the fence and walked towards the bow. Stop, said the guards. And they alarmed the army. Maybe that's the boy Kamsa has warned us we should keep an eye on. Krishna had taken that powerful bow, which 1,000 people could not carry. He had lifted it and smiled at everyone. It's not a very heavy bow, and everybody, the whole army was getting ready. Stop! And they were rushing at him. Krishna then stringed the bow and smilingly brought the rope of the bow to the left side and the bow to the right side. Then the bow snapped and braked and made such a noise that everyone fell on the ground. And Kamsa, who was in his palace, thought, my death has come. Krishna is in the habit of breaking bows. I think you understand. As Rama, he has had broken another bow. No problem. This is his habit. In this way, he had indicated a message to Kamsa. Tomorrow I will come. Already I have taken away your cloth from your washerman. I have already taken your sandalwood, which is used to adorn you. Now I have broken your life. Have a very nice night. Hare Krishna. We will soon enter the real action. My dear devotees, Krishna then had gone back to Nanda Maharaj, who was in the encampment of the Brajavasis just outside the town. The whole day Krishna had strolled around in the town of Mathura, but he hadn't eaten anything because he remembered that one pot of sweet rice. What is that one pot of sweet rice? Well, Mother Yashoda, when Krishna left the village of Braj, had cried and cried, and then the last minute she thought, he will be hungry on the way. So she had brought a little stove, just like this, had placed a pot with milk and rice and sufficient amount of sugar inside, and for the whole journey from Vrindavan to Mathura, this pot of sweet rice, cooked by Mother Yashoda's love, was boiling. In German we would say, es köchelte. It was boiling, just boiling away. And she had instructed Nanda Maharaj, when you arrive, take that pot, put it on the floor, and let it continue to thicken and sweeten. Krishna loves this sweet rice from his mother very much. And Nanda Maharaj had followed his wife's order. And so Krishna remembered all the time as he was strolling about in Mathura, the sweet rice of my mother. I will eat it in the evening. I will not accept anything on the street here. And although the Mathura Vasis offered him the most delicious of sweets, and its Krishna had remained hungry to eat that sweet rice. So when he came back to the encampment, he immediately asked, took a shower, then he asked Nanda Maharaj, is there something for my mother? And Nanda Maharaj had heard that Krishna had just broken the bow and said, yeah, yes, there is something from your mother, but don't break bows. So he had given Krishna the sweet rice. Krishna and Balaram had eaten. Then Nanda Maharaj had spread out some blankets under the ox cart, and Krishna and Balaram had immediately fallen asleep, while Kamsa in his palace was tortured by precognitive dreams. He saw in his dreams how he was riding on donkeys. There was no head on his shoulders. He saw how he was walking over wet earth, and when he turned around, there were no footprints in the earth. he looked at a forest, which all of a sudden became red, as if bathed in blood. Do you know this Vapna Shastra? There it is said, when you have such dreams, your death is near. And Kamsa knew this Shastra. On that, after that dreamy night, Krishna was resting under the bullock cart. He knew that Kamsa wanted to kill him, but he slept very happily with the sweet rice of Mother Yashoda in his belly. And the next morning, they heard the music already from the sacrificial arena. So Krishna sent Nanda Maharaj forward. Go already, father. Go in the arena. Take the seats. We will come, Balaram, and we will come. We woke up a little late. We will take our bath in the Yamuna. Krishna knew if Nanda would see that Kamsa had posted his war elephant, Kuvala Yadapida, before the gates of the arena, then to kill Krishna, then Nanda Maharaj would grab Krishna and Balaram by the hands and said, this is not a safe place. Let's go back to Vrindavan. We made a mistake to come here. So he wanted that Nanda Maharaj goes already inside the arena, and then he wanted to confront the first obstacle, Kuvala Dapida, on the gates. So Krishna had taken shower, and there was all this music from inside this huge stadium, you know. It was greater than the Yankee Stadium in New York. He approached with Balaram the entrance, while already everyone was sitting. As he just wanted to enter, the huge war elephant Kuvalaya Pida blocked Krishna's way. He was guarded or incited by the Mahout, which sat on top of him, who had orders to kill Krishna. And he charged at Krishna. But Krishna, very nonchalantly, as if dancing, sent Kuvala Yadapida to the abode of death. And meanwhile, the music was becoming louder. It is here where we will start our dramatic reading for this evening. As if this was not already dramatic enough. It will become now very nice. The whole audience was seated and entertained to music, which announced the upcoming wrestling match. The whole arena, my dear devotees, was full with eager spectators who were seated according to their social status. They had come also from the surrounding villages because they had heard Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan, would come to this wrestling match. There were Brahmanas, there was Nanda Maharaj and the people from Vrindavan sitting somewhere and eating their braj rotis. The music played, and the wrestlers who had up till now sat on the mats got up and showed their big bodies and muscles. Oh, sorry, there's no muscle here. When King Kamsa entered with the ministers, there was a stir in the atmosphere. Everyone said, the king has come. And they pointed to Kamsa, who looked majestic. He was dressed. But what everyone saw is, he was dressed for battle. They were irritated. They thought, this is entertainment. All all of a sudden, Kamsa was seated. Everything, there was an expectant hush over the atmosphere. Something happened. There were some lower doors in the arena, you know, a huge arena. Imagine the Yankee Stadium, which you have seen in the TV. And there was down a little, like a little entrance. So this entrance, they saw how Krishna and Balaram entered the arena. But as Krishna and Balaram entered the arena, the light from their bodies washed over the whole arena. And everyone started to become moved in their hearts. They looked at Krishna and Balaram, who each carried a tusk of an elephant on their shoulder, which was quite unusual. On Krishna's beautiful bluish-black body, there were fine particles of perspiration, like drops of dew or pearls on a lotus flower, because he had just fought with the elephant Kuvalayadapida. Kuvalayadapida. Yeah. Krishna's body glistened also, because there was blood-red drops of Kuvalayapida's blood. He was accompanied by a few small boys who were dancing very jubilantly. My dear devotees, Krishna and Balaram had not entered quietly the arena like someone who had come late and looks shyly for his seat. Krishna and Balaram walked right into the center of the arena to give their darshan to all the people of Mathura. It was clear Krishna had not come as a spectator. He was the main actor, the center of all attention, pulling everyone's eyes and mind to him with his all-attractiveness. The minds of all those in the assembly were simply overpowered with the beautiful effulgence emanating from the Lord. And all this decreased the importance of Kamsa. Kamsa looked at Krishna, who was colored red. He appeared to him like Shiva at the time of the destruction of the universe. Breathless, he asked his attendants, "Who are these two boys?" The attendants said, "These are the two." "What is in their hands, my servants? Why are their bodies painted like that?" The servants answered, "O king, those are the tusks of your war elephant, Kuvalayapida." Kamsa let out a scream of grief. "Kuvala!" Then he turned to his servants. "Oh, sinful people! They don't deserve that we speak about them." So the servants went, "We didn't say. You asked. But then the effulgence of the two boys arrived at King Kamsa, and the effulgence of Krishna began to speak. "O Kamsa, don't think you are so strong. Kamsa rose to make sure he had heard correctly, and with his ministers he went before the gate. There he saw Kuvalayapida with a happy smile, but dead. He had just received liberation. This elephant, my dear devotees, was so strong that he could fight with 20,000 people. at the same time. Only Kamsa had been able to subdue it. His name meant he who with his steps makes the earth shake.
Kamsa said, "But there are no marks of the sword here. Krishna used his hands.
What will happen to me? And what are with these dreams which I had?" You must know, my dear devotees,
Kamsa was so evil that he was even more evil than Yarasandra.
Kamsa had personally ordered that all the newborn children were killed to make sure that Krishna, who was newborn, would also be amongst them. Kamsa had stopped the Brahmanas from performing yajñas. Kamsa had used Brahman girls for his sense gratification. Kamsa doesn't deserve that we speak about him on the 64 rounds day, but he was evil, evil, evil. Finished. That's all what we say about him.
My dear devotees, as Krishna now entered in the arena, Shukadev describes him.
Malanam ashanyaninam naravada strinam smaro mutiman gopanam svajano satam shidibujam shashta svapitro shishu mrityo boja pate virat avidusham tatvam param yoginam Vishninam paradevate dividito rangam gata sakraja.
There were different groups of people who all looked at Krishna and all saw him differently. I will request you to choose one group you would like to hear about. Because you cannot yet speak, you will have to mention with your fingers 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever. So, group number one, the restless like Chanuras, who had bodies as big as mountains. When they, who had no love for Krishna, looked at Krishna, they couldn't see his form. Because only if you have love can you see Krishna. What they saw a lightning bolt. Power. Naked, poor power entering, which can split mountains. They became furious. Second group, the men of Mathura. They were in a general mood of love for Krishna and not envious like Kamsa. They saw his pure effulgence and they talked to each other. "We have never seen someone like that. Amazing! Amazing!" This sounds like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. "Absolutely amazing!" Third group, the young women of Mathura, who were free from material lust and full of prema. When they saw Krishna, they saw this, the original love god, the original Cupid. They immediately felt conjugal interaction and only had one question: when will we be with Krishna? When will we touch his body, which is as soft as fresh yogurt, very soft and cooling? Man. There, it was not material lust. It was original, pure love. Group number four.
When Krishna's friends, who appreciated Krishna's true identity, saw him, they saw he is our intimate friend, and they started to laugh because no one walks into a public assembly with an elephant tusk. He is so creative. He's so unusual. Look at him. How he is dressed like a cowherd boy, but with an elephant tusk. Far out. They said, look at him. Krishna's parents, like Nanda and Vasudev and Devaki, saw him as their child, a small baby. They saw him as very tender and asked themselves, why did we bring him? Why did he have to come here? Kamsa is so terrible. He won't understand that the one who broke his bow was Narayan, who went into our little boy. He will not fight. He should find fault with Narayan. And if he wants to fight, he could fight with Narayan. Let him try. But our Krishna he didn't do anything. He's a small boy who doesn't know his limitations. They addressed Krishna with a very sweet Sanskrit word. They called out to Krishna in the arena, Shishu, Shishu, Shishu. Shishu means small boy, you know. Like we would say, small one or little one. Or in German we would say, kleiner, mein kleiner. You know, you can see German is also sweet. It is not just what you have seen in the movies. It has some sweetness to it. Kleiner. You know, Shishu, Shishu, it sounds so endearing, isn't it? Shishu, when you want to say, like Om Hrishikesh, we can say, Shishu, Shishuji. But not when he challenges us for wrestling Om Hrishikesh. Then we will know his powers. Yes. So I had asked you tell what you would, whom you would like to know, but I have already explained. I'm very sorry. I lost control. There were many people like this. Maybe we have three groups, and you can either say one, two, three. Let us say, what did the unintelligent people see? Like the priests who worshipped the bow and other such demonic things. What did they see when they saw Krishna? What did the yogi see? Second group, the yogi group. Maybe we want to preach to the yoga people. And then what did the members of the Vishnu dynasty see? Please raise your hand and indicate what you want to see. Three... Two, three, three, two, three, two. No, my God, everyone is... Three is in the majority. You want to... The members of the Vrishni dynasty, that is Krishna's dynasty, the dynasty of Vasudev, and so they all were devotees of the Lord in the mood of Dasya Rasa, and they had been subdued by Kamsa for so long. They had, many of them had been driven out of their posts, out of their kingdoms. They had hidden in the forests and in the caves of the mountains, and they knew that the Lord would come. There was a prophecy and liberate them, and they had come, some of them in disguise. They were mixing amongst the people, and they saw Krishna. And since they were the servants, they saw, our master has come, and he has come to liberate us from Kamsa. We know it. He looks very small and tender as he looks around in the arena like a curious child giving his darshan to all. But he is our master who is incredibly powerful. My dear devotees, I want to ask you a question. Was the Lord different for different people? If yes, why did everyone see something totally different? There were kings who looked at Krishna and saw personified death. Or if the Lord was not different, if it was always the same Lord, then why was it that some laughed seeing him as a prankish little child, the others prayed to him as the master who had come to deliver them? You know, what is at the root of seeing the Lord in different ways? The answer to this perplexing question is that God is always viewed by different people according to their bhava. He's the same Lord, but all of them see differently according to the love, because it is love which sees, not the eyes. There was once a king who married a gypsy woman. All the ministers said, "This is beyond your social status." The king said, "No, I like her very much, and it is within my power to make her an aristocrat, to upgrade her." And so he married his gypsy queen, who was now by his decree to be seen as a kshatriya. He said at the marriage, "My dear, there are two conditions. Never ever take the royal chariot to go somewhere, because this is reserved for the king. And never give me food which you have already eaten." The next day, I think her name was, I forgot her name, Pulindi, had gone with the chariot to her mother who was sick. He had used the royal chariot, and everyone first saw, "This is our king who is coming," and had paid obeisances. And then they noticed, "No, there's a girl. There's Pulindi is inside the chariot." And it created a stir. When the king was asked about to censor his wife, the king said, "No, Pulindi is beyond all reproach. I'm happy to be married to Pulindi because she even, how do you say, that's the Hinweg, she even disobeys my order out of love for her mother. This is a loving wife. Love is first place for her." Half a year later, the king came into the royal chambers where Pulindi was sitting. She had been given a gift of 10 peaches and had already devoured 9 peaches. She was just eating the 10th peach. It was half eaten. And when she saw the king, she took the remnant of the half peach and stuck it in his face so that he ate it. The minister had seen it and said, "King, you are a king. You can't eat what someone has eaten before you. You must always eat what is cooked for you only. This is the rule." The king had said, "Minister, you don't understand. Pulindi knows that. But because she loves me, she is blind to the rules and regulations. This is a good wife. Love is first for her." 1 year later, the king divorced from Pulindi. It was simply not possible for the king to live next to an uncultured gypsy. And the main reasons he gave for the divorce was, once Pulindi had taken the royal chariot. and it had been a scandal. And the second reason is Pulindi had actually dared to give him a half-eaten peach. The same reasons which at one time made Pulindi the most desirable person had now become the reasons for a divorce. What had happened? In the beginning, the king viewed Pulindi with eyes of love. Later, he didn't have these eyes any longer because she felt disturbed by the impossible habits of a gypsy. And the love went, and then he saw the same things as something bad. My dear devotees, I'm telling you this a story for two reasons. First is you need a little humor because otherwise you become too stiff. But the second, more important reason is a philosophical reason, which says, if even in this world you see according to love, how do you think you will perceive anything of the God without love, without attachment? You cannot see, you cannot understand. Attachment to Krishna. This is very, very important. And it will come, I think, now when you hear about Krishna from the by the eyes of the people in Mathura. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how all the senses of the people were attracted to their Lord. Although Sri Krishna's fame was widely known in Mathura, not everyone had seen him. Since yesterday, the whole town had been talking about Krishna, how he had dealt with the Kubja and given her the most beautiful body by just taking his index finger and the ring finger of both hands under her chin and then placing his lotus feet on Kubja's feet. Just imagine this. Looking so lovingly at Kubja. Kubja returned that loving glance. She had painted Krishna's eyes and everything with ornaments. And they looked at each other with eyes of love. And Krishna gave her a jerk. And immediately her hunchback disappeared. She had been bent over. There was a great deformation in the upper part of her spine. It was a hunchback. Because Kubja is no one else than Prithvi, Mother Earth, who had been totally disfigured by the weight of the demons who were strolling about her. Her back had collapsed. Now Krishna had straightened her back, indicating, "Don't worry, I will straighten this problem out. No, don't problem. I'm starting with your back today, and tomorrow I will deal with Kamsa." They had heard about this. They had heard how he had broken the unbreakable bow, but now they saw and gazed at Krishna. Happiness entered their hearts, and the happiness again came up from their hearts, moved like an army of joyful dancers into their faces. And for the first time, their faces blossomed up. Their faces were shrinkled due to the demoniac rule of Kamsa, who was a terrorist, who inflicted terror, I wanted to say. They tasted the Lord. They drank the beauty of the Lord with their eyes. That means their eyes stopped blinking as the beauty of Krishna went in. Just like you drink in one gulp. So without any interruption, their eyes had not blinked for even a second because the beauty of Krishna forced their eyes open. They couldn't close it. It was just too beautiful. They tasted the Lord with their tongues. They smelled Him with their wide open nostrils. And although they had to remain where they were sitting, they embraced the Lord by their open hearts, who entered their hearts individually and accepted their embracement. And then they started to talk about them, about Krishna. He killed Putana and over and overturned the card demon. He destroyed the wind demon. And he uprooted the powerful Arjuna trees. He lifted the Govardhan hill without previous experience in weightlifting. And the best part of it all is, he is from our town, Mathura. Yes, he is the son of Vasudev. He is a homeboy. He has come home. He is ours. This is how they felt. They talked like this. My dear devotees, imagine there were these hundreds and thousands of people in the arena. Even the devatas from Svaga had come and become submerged in bliss. They were in absolute ecstasy. And then they prayed to Lord Shiva, "O Shiva, O Lord Mahesha, let Krishna kill Kamsa today." Kamsa had heard all these talks, how they were glorifying Krishna, how they were, and he who would not even tolerate the little neglect or a fearful glance of his citizens in his direction, he had to remain silent. He knew he couldn't control the arena any longer. As they were singing, "My dear devotees, I want you now to remain seated on your seat. You are one of the residents of Mathura. You have heard about Krishna previously. You have heard about his pastimes with his flute in Vrindavan. You had heard about his, how he would go out every morning with the cows to herd them. You have heard how Krishna would play his flute and how the peacocks would dance and at the end reward Krishna with a feather from them, which Krishna would readily put into his hair. You had heard all these things. You had heard what Krishna did in Mathura, how he had rewarded the florist Sudama, who had made a garland of exquisite flowers for Krishna and Balaram. You had heard how Krishna blessed him with three things: attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a friendly attitude towards all living entities, and a complete and unbreakable friendship with the devotees. You had heard how Krishna had done all these things. Now you're sitting in the arena and Krishna is in the middle, and you feast your eyes on Krishna and sing his holy name. Please let us sing with this consciousness our concluding bhajan for the evening.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please in one voice.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Nila Madhav Radha, Nila Madhav Radhe. Re Sri Rade Re Re Sri Rade Re Re Sri Rade.
Just 1 minute I have to say. Some of you might think, well, did Krishna, when he was in Mathura, forget the Brij Basis? Did he actually forget Radharani? Well, Radharani sent a letter to Krishna. He said, in the letter she wrote, I have a parrot. And you know this parrot. A male parrot and a female parrot. And every day I would feed them the remnants from your plate which was brought to me. Some of the remnants would go to the parrots. But now, these parrots who are your devotees don't get your remnants because you are in Mathura and they're lying on the floor, wailing. What will you do for these parrots? Mm-hmm. Krishna had read the letter. He had cried and cried
and he made plans to come to Vrindavan. He had written immediately a letter to Yashoda. Don't think I was not there, and I will prove it. The first night when I was in Mathura, I ate your sweet rice. The second day, I ate rotis with buttermilk, which you had cooked. And it's a fact, Yashoda had cooked this in Mathura. And the third day I had eaten, and Krishna identified the preparation which Yashoda cooked with deep feelings of separation for Krishna in Vrindavan. And Yashoda began to understand, he is in Mathura, but he is also in Vrindavan. Some deep secrets will come in our next reading. These are all to be found in Gopal Champu, but now we have to also think of Krishna. Let us write our letters to Krishna with the words of our Japamala, Hare Krishna. And let us send our love message to Krishna tomorrow. And how this is done, I think, who will, Yagya Purusha Prabhu, you seem to be ready or to give us an orientation, or who of you, you are facilitate. You cannot talk. Oh yes, right, you cannot talk. Facilitators can't talk. So I will then say what is the plan, and you nod or you shake your head according to this. The morning program is as usual. There is Mona Vrata, as usual, for today. I've never seen such joyful Mona Vratis who laugh at every sentence which comes out of the very serious speaker. So then, there is the morning class as usual on a subject matter. I have prepared it, but just now I don't know what is the subject matter. And and then there's the whole day japa again, and Mona day number two. Please give it your very best, and then we meet in the evening. And I can already see here are the questions which we will be sharing about. What were my struggles? What were my high points? It would be nice if there are some high points with you. I think you have these high points or these epiphanies, hopefully. What did I learn? And then we will in the evening break the Mona. When we will break the Mona? At 6 o'clock, when it's sharing time, isn't it? No. At 7 o'clock? No. You can gesture. At 8 o'clock. 8:30. At 8:30. You have totally impressed the staff. There was a staff member. I was walking there. The staff member looked at me. He came from the car. I can't talk to you, right? And I said, if you keep it a secret, you can talk to me, but don't report it to the press of Philadelphia that you have tempted me into breaking my sacred Mona Vrata. They're very impressed by the Mona Vrata. Everyone speaks about your Mona Vrata. So tomorrow you will do good. You will please do very good again, like today. So that is all we have to say. I wish you a first-class good night. All the best, and Hare Krishna.